be near me, Lord Jesus. I ask thee to stay close by me forever and love me, I pray. Bless all the dear children in thy tender care, and take us to heaven. To live with thee there.
Hello, my name is Charles Tate, affectionately known as Deacon Charles Tate. Just a quick sidebar before I introduce this. Can you imagine what heaven going to be like? We're going to be able to sit down and listen to music like that played when we get to heaven. There's going to be all kind of venues for each and every one of us to enjoy. But I really like jazz, and I appreciate that song that Pastor played for us right now. But I want to welcome all of you to Running for Christ Ministries Bible Reading Class. We thank God for each one of you that join with us every week. And we ask that you help us by letting someone else know that this Bible class is here on Blog Talk Radio. Tonight, we'll be reading the book of Jeremiah, chapters, if I'm mistaken, 26 through 30. And following that, we'll begin answering the review questions. Now, if you would like to take part in answering the review questions or make a comment, just press 1 on your phone. That will put you in the host queue, and your mic will be open for you to answer or ask a question or make a comment. Now, please do us a huge favor by keeping all background noise to zero. A good way to do this is simply mute your phone and when you're not, don't have anything to say, and when you get ready to speak again, just unmute your phone. Now, let us pray. Lord God, our Father, we ask that you just this evening bless the teacher and bless the participants in this class. And Lord Jesus, just let it be said what you want to say. We look into your word right now, and your word speaks for itself. Now we'll be listening to chapter 6, the audio portion. We'll be listening to chapters 6 and 10, 6 through 10, and I'll see you on the other side.
Jeremiah 26. Early in the reign of Jehoiakim, son of Josiah, king of Judah, this word came from the Lord. This is what the Lord says. Stand in the courtyard of the Lord's house and speak to all the people of the towns of Judah who come to worship in the house of the Lord. Tell them everything I command you. Do not omit a word. Perhaps they will listen and each will turn from their evil ways. Then I will relent and not inflict on them the disaster I was planning because of the evil they have done. Say to them, this is what the Lord says. If you do not listen to me and follow my law, which I have set before you, and if you do not listen to the words of my servants, the prophets, whom I have sent to you again and again, though you have not listened, then I will make this house like Shiloh, and this city a curse among all the nations of the earth. The priests, the prophets, and all the people who heard Jeremiah speak these words in the house of the Lord. But as soon as Jeremiah finished telling all the people everything the Lord had commanded him to say, the priests, the prophets, and all the people seized him and said, you must die. Why do you prophesy in the Lord's name that this house will be like Shiloh, and this city will be desolate and deserted? And all the people crowded around Jeremiah in the house of the Lord. When the officials of Judah heard about these things, they went up from the royal palace to the house of the Lord and took their places at the entrance of the new gate of the Lord's house. Then the priests and the prophets said to the officials and all the people, this man should be sentenced to death because he has prophesied against this city. You have heard it with your own ears. Then Jeremiah said to all the officials and all the people, the Lord sent me to prophesy against this house and this city all the things you have heard. Now reform your ways and your actions and obey the Lord your God. Then the Lord will relent and not bring the disaster he has pronounced against you. As for me, I am in your hands. Do with me whatever you think is good and right. Be assured, however, that if you put me to death, you will bring the guilt of innocent blood on yourselves and on this city and on those who live in it. For in truth, the Lord has sent me to you to speak all these words in your hearing. Then the officials and all the people said to the priests and the prophets, this man should not be sentenced to death. He has spoken to us in the name of the Lord our God. Some of the elders of the land stepped forward and said to the entire assembly of people, Micah of Moresheth prophesied in the days of Hezekiah, king of Judah. He told all the people of Judah, This is what the Lord Almighty says. Zion will be plowed like a field. Jerusalem will become a heap of rubble. The Temple Hill, a mound overgrown with thickets. Did Hezekiah, king of Judah, or anyone else in Judah put him to death? Did not Hezekiah fear the Lord and seek his favor? And did not the Lord relent so that he did not bring the disaster he pronounced against them? We are about to bring a terrible disaster on ourselves. Now Uriah, son of Shemaiah from Kiriath-Jearim, was another man who prophesied in the name of the Lord. He prophesied the same things against this city and this land as Jeremiah did. When King Jehoiakim and all his officers and officials heard his words, the king was determined to put him to death, but Uriah heard of it and fled in fear to Egypt. King Jehoiakim, however, sent Elnathan, son of Achbor, to Egypt along with some other men. They brought Uriah out of Egypt and took him to King Jehoiakim, who had him struck down with a sword and his body thrown into the burial place of the common people. Furthermore, Ahikam, son of Shaphan, supported Jeremiah, and so he was not handed over to the people to be put to death. Jeremiah 27. Early in the reign of Zedekiah, son of Josiah, king of Judah, this word came to Jeremiah from the Lord. This is what the Lord said to me. Make a yoke out of straps and crossbars and put it on your neck. Then send word to the kings of Edom, Moab, Ammon, Tyre, and Sidon, through the envoys who have come to Jerusalem to Zedekiah, king of Judah. Give them a message for their masters and say, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Tell this to your masters. With my great power and outstretched arm, I made the earth and its people and the animals that are on it, and I give it to anyone I please. Now, I will give all your countries into the hands of my servant Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. I will make even the wild animals subject to him. All nations will serve him and his son and his grandson until the time for his land comes. Then many nations and great kings will subjugate him. If, however, any nation or kingdom will not serve Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, or bow its neck under his yoke, I will punish that nation with the sword, famine, and plague, declares the Lord, until I destroy it by his hand. So do not listen to your prophets, your diviners, your interpreters of dreams, your mediums, or your sorcerers who tell you you will not serve the king of Babylon. They prophesy lies to you that will only serve to remove you far from your lands. I will banish you and you will perish. But if any nation will bow its neck under the yoke of the king of Babylon and serve him, I will let that nation remain in its own land to till it and to live there, declares the Lord. I gave the same message to Zedekiah, king of Judah. I said, bow your neck under the yoke of the king of Babylon. Serve him and his people, and you will live. Why will you and your people die by the sword, famine, and plague with which the Lord has threatened any nation that will not serve the king of Babylon? Do not listen to the words of the prophets who say to you, you will not serve the king of Babylon, for they are prophesying lies to you. I have not sent them, declares the Lord. They are prophesying lies in my name. Therefore I will banish you, and you will perish, both you and the prophets who prophesy to you. Then I said to the priests and all these people, this is what the Lord says. Do not listen to the prophets who say, very soon now the articles from the Lord's house will be brought back from Babylon. They are prophesying lies to you. Do not listen to them. Serve the king of Babylon, and you will live. Why should this city become a ruin? If they are prophets and have the word of the Lord, let them plead with the Lord Almighty that the articles remaining in the house of the Lord and in the palace of the king of Judah and in Jerusalem not be taken to Babylon. For this is what the Lord Almighty says about the pillars, the bronze sea, the movable stands, and the other articles that are left in this city, which Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, did not take away when he carried Jehoiachin, son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon, along with all the nobles of Judah and Jerusalem. Yes, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says about the things that are left in the house of the Lord and in the palace of the king of Judah and in Jerusalem. They will be taken to Babylon, and there they will remain until the day I come for them, declares the Lord. Then I will bring them back and restore them to this place. Jeremiah 28. In the fifth month of that same year, the fourth year, early in the reign of Zedekiah, king of Judah, the prophet Hananiah, son of Azur, who was from Gibeon, said to me in the house of the Lord, in the presence of the priests and all the people, "This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. I will break the yoke of the king of Babylon. Within 2 years I will bring back to this place all the articles of the Lord's house that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, removed from here and took to Babylon. I will also bring back to this place Jehoiachin, son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, and all the other exiles from Judah who went to Babylon, declares the Lord. For I will break the yoke of the king of Babylon." Then the prophet Jeremiah replied to the prophet Hananiah before the priests and all the people who were standing in the house of the Lord. He said, "Amen. May the Lord do so. May the Lord fulfill the words you have prophesied by bringing the articles of the Lord's house and all the exiles back to this place from Babylon. Nevertheless, listen to what I have to say in your hearing and in the hearing of all the people. From early times, the prophets who preceded you and me have prophesied war, disaster, and plague against many countries and great kingdoms. But the prophet who prophesies peace will be recognized as one truly sent by the Lord only if his prediction comes true." Then the prophet Hananiah took the yoke off the neck of the prophet Jeremiah and broke it. And he said before all the people, "This is what the Lord says. In the same way, I will break the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, off the neck of all the nations within 2 years." At this, the prophet Jeremiah went on his way. After the prophet Hananiah had broken the yoke off the neck of the prophet Jeremiah, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, "Go and tell Hananiah, this is what the Lord says. You have broken a wooden yoke, but in its place you will get a yoke of iron. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. I will put an iron yoke on the necks of all these nations to make them serve Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and they will serve him. I will even give him control over the wild animals." Then the prophet Jeremiah said to Hananiah the prophet, "Listen, Hananiah, the Lord has not sent you, yet you have persuaded this nation to trust in lies. Therefore, this is what the Lord says. I am about to remove you from the face of the earth. This very year you are going to die because you have preached rebellion against the Lord." In the seventh month of that same year, Hananiah the prophet died. Jeremiah 29. This is the text of the letter that the prophet Jeremiah sent from Jerusalem to the surviving elders among the exiles and to the priests, the prophets, and all the other people Nebuchadnezzar had carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. This was after King Jehoiachin and the queen mother, the court officials, and the leaders of Judah and Jerusalem, the skilled workers and the artisans, had gone into exile from Jerusalem. He entrusted the letter to Elasa, son of Shaphan, and Gemariah, son of Hilkiah, whom Zedekiah, king of Judah, sent to King Nebuchadnezzar in Babylon. It said, "This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and settle down. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage, so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number there, do not decrease. Also, seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. Yes, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Do not let the prophets and diviners among you deceive you. Do not listen to the dreams you encourage them to have. They are prophesying lies to you in my name. I have not sent them, declares the Lord. This is what the Lord says. When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my good promise to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and places where I have banished you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back to the place from which I carried you into exile. You may say, the Lord has raised up prophets for us in Babylon. But this is what the Lord says about the king who sits on David's throne and all the people who remain in this city, your fellow citizens who did not go with you into exile. Yes, this is what the Lord Almighty says. I will send the sword, famine, and plague against them, and I will make them like figs that are so bad they cannot be eaten. I will pursue them with the sword, famine, and plague, and will make them abhorrent to all the kingdoms of the earth, a curse and an object of horror, of scorn, and reproach among all the nations where I drive them. For they have not listened to my words, declares the Lord, words that I sent to them again and again by my servants, the prophets, and you exiles have not listened either, declares the Lord. Therefore hear the word of the Lord, all you exiles whom I have sent away from Jerusalem to Babylon. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says about Ahab, son of Kolaiah, and Zedekiah, son of Maaseiah, who are prophesying lies to you in my name. I will deliver them into the hands of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and he will put them to death before your very eyes. Because of them, all the exiles from Judah who are in Babylon will use this curse. May the Lord treat you like Zedekiah and Ahab, whom the king of Babylon burned in the fire. For they have done outrageous things in Israel. They have committed adultery with their neighbor's wives, and in my name they have uttered lies which I did not authorize. I know it, and I'm a witness to it, declares the Lord. Tell Shemaiah, the Nehelamite, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. You sent letters in your own name to all the people in Jerusalem, to the priests Zephaniah, son of Maaseiah, and to all the other priests. You said to Zephaniah, the Lord has appointed you priest in place of Jehoiada to be in charge of the house of the Lord. You should put any maniac who acts like a prophet into the stocks and neck irons. So why have you not reprimanded Jeremiah from Anathoth, who poses as a prophet among you? He has sent this message to us in Babylon. It will be a long time. Therefore, build houses and settle down. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Zephaniah the priest, however, read the letter to Jeremiah the prophet. Then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. Send this message to all the exiles. This is what the Lord says about Shemaiah the Nehelamite. Because Shemaiah has prophesied to you, even though I did not send him, and has persuaded you to trust in lies, this is what the Lord says. I will surely punish Shemaiah the Nehelamite and his descendants. He will have no one left among this people, nor will he see the good things I will do for my people, declares the Lord, because he has preached rebellion against me. Jeremiah 30. This is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Write in a book all the words I have spoken to you. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will bring my people Israel and Judah back from captivity and restore them to the land I gave their ancestors to possess, says the Lord. These are the words the Lord spoke concerning Israel and Judah. This is what the Lord says. Cries of fear are heard, terror, not peace. Ask and see. Can a man bear children? Then why do I see every strong man with his hands on his stomach like a woman in labor, every face turned deathly pale? How awful that day will be. No other will be like it. It will be a time of trouble for Jacob, but he will be saved out of it. In that day, declares the Lord Almighty, I will break the yoke off their necks, and will tear off their bonds. No longer will foreigners enslave them. Instead, they will serve the Lord their God and David their king, whom I will raise up for them. So do not be afraid, Jacob my servant. Do not be dismayed, Israel, declares the Lord. I will surely save you out of a distant place, your descendants from the land of their exile. Jacob will again have peace and security, and no one will make him afraid. I am with you and will save you, declares the Lord, though I completely destroy all the nations among which I scatter you. I will not completely destroy you. I will discipline you, but only in due measure. I will not let you go entirely unpunished. This is what the Lord says. Your wound is incurable, your injury beyond healing. There is no one to plead your cause, no remedy for your sore, no healing for you. All your allies have forgotten you. They care nothing for you. I have struck you as an enemy would and punished you as would the cruel, because your guilt is so great and your sins so many. Why do you cry out over your wound, your pain that has no cure? Because of your great guilt and many sins, I have done these things to you. But all who devour you will be devoured. All your enemies will go into exile. Those who plunder you will be plundered. All who make spoil of you I will despoil. But I will restore you to health and heal your wounds, declares the Lord, because you are called an outcast, Zion, for whom no one cares. This is what the Lord says. I will restore the fortunes of Jacob's tents and have compassion on his dwellings. The city will be rebuilt on her ruins, and the palace will stand in its proper place. From them will come songs of thanksgiving and the sound of rejoicing. I will add to their numbers, and they will not be decreased. I will bring them honor, and they will not be disdained. Their children will be as in days of old, and their community will be established before me. I will punish all who oppress them. Their leader will be one of their own. Their ruler will arise from among them. I will bring him near, and he will come close to me. For who is he who will devote himself to be close to me, declares the Lord? So you will be my people, and I will be your God. See, the storm of the Lord will burst out in wrath, a driving wind swirling down on the heads of the wicked. The fierce anger of the Lord will not turn back until he fully accomplishes the purposes of his heart. In days to come, you will understand this.
Okay, that concludes the written portion of our reading. Now, if you would like to answer review questions, excuse me, like I said, press 1. And if you need questions, go to rfcm.org and click on Bible classes. Okay, I hope I got some readers and some answerers out there. Now, real quick, I told you earlier we was going to read 6 through 10. Sorry about that. Oversight on my part. We are in 26 through 30. Now, question number 1. What did the Lord instruct Jeremiah to say to priests and prophets on his behalf?
Chapter 26, verses 1 through 6.
Hello, Miss Rebecca. How are you?
Good.
You said verses what?
1 through 6.
Okay, you're doing the complete thought. Okay, I can live with that.
Okay.
All right. You want to read that for me?
Sure. It reads as follows. Early in the reign of Jehoiakim, son of Josiah, king of Judah, this word came from the Lord. This is what the Lord says. Stand in the courtyard of the Lord's house and speak to all the people of the towns of Judah who come to worship in the house of the Lord. I think I lost my place. This is what the Lord says. Stand in the courtyard of the Lord's house and speak to all the people of the towns of Judah who come to worship in the house of the Lord. Tell them everything I command you. Do not omit a word. Perhaps they will listen and each will turn from their evil ways. Then I will relent and not inflict on them the disaster I was planning because of the evil they have done. Say to them, this is what the Lord says. If you do not listen to me and follow my law, which I have set before you, and if you do not listen to the words of my servants, the prophets, whom I have sent to you again and again, though you have not listened, then I will make this house like Shiloh and this city a curse among all the nations of the earth. Amen.
Amen. Okay, moving right along. Question number two. How did Jeremiah defend himself against the princes and all those who wanted to kill him?
Was it okay. 26:14-17?
Who is that, Keela? Is that Miss Keela I'm listening to?
Yes, sir.
Okay, how are you? Good to hear your voice.
Hanging in here. Yeah, I'm hanging
okay.
in here. Thank you.
Okay, 14-17, you see it?
Mm-hmm.
I can
Do me a favor.
Well, maybe. You know, like Crystal always say, I guess I'm going with the complete thought. Why don't you start at 12 and go to 17?
Okay, let me get the 12 here.
Yeah, I'm waiting on you. Not a problem.
Okay, it says, then Jeremiah spoke to the officials and the people in his own defense. The Lord sent me to prophesy or to prophesy against this temple and his city, and this city. He said, the Lord gave me every word that I have spoken. But if you stop your sinning and begin to obey the Lord, your God, he will change his mind about the disaster that he has announced against you. As for me, I am in your hands. Do with me as you think you best, as you think best. But if you kill me, rest assured that you will be killing an innocent man. The responsibility for such a deed will lie on you, on this city, and every person living in it. For it is absolutely time that the Lord, absolutely true, that the Lord sent me to speak every word you have heard. Okay, and then 16. Then the officials and the people said to the priests and the prophets, this man does not deserve death, the death sentence, for he has spoken to us in the name of the Lord our God. And then 17, you want me to continue to 17?
Go ahead, go ahead.
Okay, then 17 reads, then some of the wise men, some of the wise old men stood and spoke to all the people assembled there.
Thank you very much. Okay, moving right along. Question number three.
No, that's
Who advocated for Jeremiah after Uriah was killed?
I got verse 24 in chapter 26.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, it reads as follows. Furthermore, Ahikam, son of Shaphan, supported Jeremiah, and so he was not handed over to the people to be put to death. Amen.
Amen. Okay. Keep it moving. Question number four. What leaders were to receive Jeremiah's message and how?
Okay, I got verses 1 through 3 of chapter 27.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, it reads, early in the reign of Zedekiah, son of Josiah, king of Judah, this word came to Jeremiah from the Lord. This is what the Lord said to me. Make a yoke out of straps and crossbars and put it on your neck. Then send word to the kings of Edom, Moab, Ammon, Tyre, and Sidon through the envoys who have come to Jerusalem to Zedekiah, king of Judah. Amen.
Thank you. Let's see, what was that? Question number, where we at? Question number five. Okay. The Lord will give grace to the nations that blank. Fill in the blank.
I didn't get that answer. What version of the Bible were you using?
Okay. I'm reading out the New Living Translation. And even in my New Living Translation, it don't read like that. But tell you what, do me a favor, read 27:11 out of your Bible and let's see what it says.
Okay. But if any nation will bow its neck under the yoke of the king of Babylon and serve him, I will let that nation remain in its own land to till it and to live there, declares the Lord. Amen. That's different, huh?
Because that was the answer that I was given. See, I'm filling in for Sarah tonight, and that was the answer that I was given. And I think that covers it for us. Okay. Question number six. Describe the pillars of the temple.
I got chapter 27, verse 19 through 22.
There we go.
For this is what the Lord Almighty says about the pillars, the bronze sea, the movable stands, and the other articles that are left in this city, which Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, did not take away when he carried Jehoiachin, son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon, along with all the nobles of Judah and Jerusalem. Yes, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says about the things that are left in the house of the Lord and in the palace of the king of Judah and in Jerusalem. They will be taken to Babylon, and there they will remain until the day I come for them, declares the Lord. Then I will bring them back and restore them to this place. Amen.
Thank you very much. Now I got a little sidebar question. Who else did we know of that was taken into Babylon, was caught up in that group that went to Babylon at that time?
Daniel?
Yep, there you go. And if Daniel was there, that means he knows. Who else, the three Hebrew boys?
Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael.
Mm-hmm. That's about the time that all of them went. Okay, let's see, where are we at now? I keep looking away. did it for us, what happened to the yoke on or question we on? I'm sorry.
Seven.
I keep looking away. Question number seven. Who approached Jeremiah with a message from the Lord?
Is that first? Oh, please go. I have gone too many times.
Okay. Well, somebody else out there, or it's just us this evening. Okay. What is that?
28:1.
Yeah, you can read that for me. I appreciate it.
One day in the
late summer. Tell you what. Go 1 through 4 for me.
1 through 4. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
One day in the late summer of that same year, the fourth year of the reign of Zedekiah, king of Judah, Hananiah, son of Azur, a prophet from Gibeon, addressed me publicly in the temple while all the priests and people listened. He said, "This is what the Lord of heaven's army, the God of Israel, says. I will remove the yoke of the king of Babylon from your neck. Within 2 years, I will bring back all the temple treasures that King Nebuchadnezzar carried off to Babylon. And I will bring back Jehoiakim, son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, and all the other captives that were taken to Babylon. I will surely break the yoke that the king of Babylon has put on your neck. I, the Lord, have spoken."
Thank you very much. I think I know that voice. Question number 8. Jeremiah delivered restorative news to Hananiah, true or false?
False.
Okay, and we base that on what?
Verse 13 and chapter 28.
What does it say?
It says, "Go and tell Hananiah, this is what the Lord says. You have broken a wooden yoke, but in its place you will get a yoke of iron."
Amen.
Amen. That's real plain, ain't it?
Yeah.
It's real plain. Okay, question number 9. Oh, wait a minute. I just answered question 9, didn't I?
Yes. So I think we're on 10.
Yeah, we're on 10? Okay. Question number 10. The Lord told those in captivity / exile to decrease in number, true or false? I got no takers.
False.
Oh, okay.
Chapter 29:6.
Go ahead. Do me a favor, read 4 through 7 for me.
Okay, will do. "This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and settle down, plant gardens and eat what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number there. Do not decrease." Amen.
Amen. I think that's something. They're in exile, but the same God that sent them there is telling them, okay, look, just kind of sit down and chill. Go ahead and blossom while you're there. You know, and we'll see why he's telling them that. You know, we're in chapter 29, but he told them, go ahead, I got you. I got you. And we got to understand sometimes when we're going through trying times in our life, you know, this crazy, hazardous times and think there's no way out, sometimes the Lord has placed us there for a reason. And while we're in that time, say what?
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to overtalk
you. No,
go ahead. I said like training.
Hey, I don't know about you, but anybody ever, you know, been in boot camp in the military? You know, I know some people can relate to that, but just like you said, like training. But the big thing is that we come to find out that no matter what situation we're in, God is with us. God is with us. No matter what's going on, God is with us. Okay, question number 11. The Lord cannot be found if we search for him with our best effort, true or false?
That's false.
And that's based on what?
29 verse 13. If you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me.
Amen.
Yep. Do me a favor, though. It's a verse in here that we all like to recite. Read 10 through 14 for me.
This is what the Lord says. You will be in Babylon for 70 years, but then I will come and do for you all the good things I have promised, and I will bring you home again. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. In those days when you pray, I will listen. If you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me. I will be found by you, says the Lord. I will end your captivity and restore your fortunes. I will gather you out of the nations where I sent you and will bring you home again to your own land.
And, you know, the reason I had you read that is because, you know, we like to recite that verse, for I know the plans I have for you, but we don't, you know, we don't talk about what was going on in that time, you know, the before and the after. And just like we were just saying, like Rebecca talked about training, like we were talking about being in situations where the Lord is with us. These people are in exile right now. They've been taken away from their land and placed somewhere else. But God in the middle of all that let them know, like he said in the verse, if you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me. And we know also that if you look for him, we'll hear he's there. He never leaves us and he never forsakes us. But like I said, we know the plans I have for you. We sometimes take that and think about, I got big plans for me. But if you, like I said just a few minutes ago, if you see right now these people, they're not, you know, he kind of was just letting them know, not kind of, but he was telling them, I know it's bad right now, but I got plans for you. And I'm going to just use Sheila for an example right now. You know, we go through some things physically right now, but I know all of you all don't know who Sheila is, but sometimes we endure. Once we learn to just totally trust in God, no matter what's going on in our life, his plans are going to come through. Okay, enough of that. Let's see. Question number 12. What prophet from the Nehalamanite did the Lord say spoke rebellion against him?
Is that verse 24, chapter 29?
Mm-hmm. I didn't know if it was that one or 31.
You know, but when you read, I love when Crystal say the whole thought. You know what? We could go from 24 all the way down through 32. You know, when it talks about, the, like Crystal say, the complete thought. I know a lot of people don't know who Crystal is, but the complete thought. The question was, what prophet did the Lord say spoke rebellion against him? Unless, well, let's see. Let's read from 24 through 32, and we'll get the answer as we go. So whichever one of y'all want to read that, knock yourself out. Rebecca, read okay. that for me. There you go.
Okay, will do. It reads like this. Tell Shemaiah the Nehelamite, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. You sent letters in your own name to all the people in Jerusalem, to the priest Zephaniah, son of Maaseiah, and to all the other priests. You said to Zephaniah, the Lord has appointed you priest in place of Jehoiada to be in charge of the house of the Lord. You should put any maniac who acts like a prophet into the stocks and neck irons. So why have you not reprimanded Jeremiah from Anathoth, who poses as a prophet among you? He has sent this message to us in Babylon. It will be a long time. Therefore, build houses and settle down, plant gardens and eat what they produce. Zephaniah the priest, however, read the letter to Jeremiah the prophet. Then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. Send this message to all the exiles. This is what the Lord says about Shemaiah, the Nehelamite. Because Shemaiah has prophesied to you, even though I did not send him, and has persuaded you to trust in lies, this is what the Lord says. I will surely punish Shemaiah, the Nehelamite, and his descendants. He will have no one left among this people, nor will he see the good things I will do for my people, declares the Lord, because he has preached rebellion against me. Amen.
Amen. Question 13. The Lord told Jeremiah to draw pictures of what he was saying to him, true or false.
False.
Okay.
Verses
and?
30, verses 1 and 2.
Go right ahead.
The Lord gave another message to Jeremiah. He said, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Write down for the record everything I have said to you, Jeremiah. Continue.
Yeah, go ahead and go to me.
For the time is coming when I will restore the fortunes of my people of Israel and Judah. I will bring them home to this land that I gave to their ancestors, and they will possess it again. I, the Lord, have spoken.
Thank you very much. Question 14. What verse specifically says the Lord will restore the health of his people?
Verse 17,
yes, ma'am.
Chapter 30.
Yes, ma'am.
It reads, but I will restore you to health and heal your wounds, declares the Lord. Because you are called an outcast, Zion, for whom no one cares. Amen.
Amen. Question 15. Describe the Lord's anger.
That would be 30 verses 23 and 24.
Go right here. Yes, ma'am.
Look, the Lord's anger bursts out like a storm, a driving wind that swirls down the heads of the wicked. The fierce anger of the Lord will not diminish until it is finished, all he has planned. In the days to come, you will understand all this.
Okay. That concludes our Bible reading class questions. We've already read through the five chapters. And everybody can go home, go class over. All right. Any questions or comments? Okay. I guess not. Okay. Let's pray our way out of here.
Hey, well, is my mic open?
Go ahead.
That was
Kat.
Oh, hey.
Now here you come now.
I know, I have a question.
Yeah.
I know.
No. It's time to go home. Okay.
Speaking of, hey.
No, that's right. You know me. It's time to go home, okay?
I know, but I got a question.
Yeah, well, I tell you what, send me an email.
Go ahead. It's still early. You got another whole hour to go.
No, I don't. Go ahead. I'm listening.
Okay, me and one of my sisters was having a discussion. Sister Jackie was having a discussion, and this has not anything to do with the lesson, but this is a question for Pastor O. So, you ready, Pastor O?
Okay. Yeah.
Wait a minute. This is my class, okay?
All right.
this is my class. He just, you know.
Okay.
But you go.
Are you ready?
I'm gonna allow you to do that this time. Go ahead.
Are you ready, Deacon Tate? Okay.
I'm listening.
This
if I can't
the
answer,
whole,
then I'll call.
The whole class.
Okay.
So this is the question. The tree of life, what does it represent or mean, or is the tree of life symbolic for something else? And if they had never sinned, would they have had children?
Say that one more time.
Okay. The tree of life, what does it represent or mean, or is the tree of life symbolic for something else? And if they had never sinned, would they have had children? So if they hadn't ate the apple off the tree, would they have ever had, if they had never sinned, would they have had children? Would it be children? Would it be life? And what is
okay,
the
now,
reason?
Okay, now you know me, so I'm going to let Pastor answer that. And then I'm going to answer that for you when I see you, okay? No, okay.
I don't know how we got on this subject, but I know we were talking about sinning in the garden. And I said if we didn't ever have to, if they had never bit that apple, we wouldn't even have to worry about wearing clothes. You know, we'd be walking around just, you know, free. And I said, I don't like clothes. And I said, I'm mad at them for even doing that. But I know what it was. It was about somebody buying clothes. A kid buying clothes and forget it. I'll mess it up. I can't remember. But yeah, that's how we. And so she was saying that. Go ahead, Pastor. I'm about to mess it up.
So what you're saying is you're asking was the tree symbolic? What did it really stand for? It was literally a tree, just like the other was literally a tree. God mm-hmm. gave no prohibition about eating from that tree. And from what we know from the Bible, it was a tree that would give you life. Because in the end, once God bounced him from the Bible, or before he did, he said he placed a guard over that tree, saying that unless they go over there and eat from that, eat and live forever. So it was a literal tree, and if they had eaten from it, they would have eaten eternal life. But because they chose the tree of death, well, we know how that all turned out. Now, the second question is, would they have had children? When you read through the creation story, especially when you get to the plants, when you get to the fish, when you get to the livestock and all of those kinds of everything outside of the, you know, like trees and things. Even trees, though, they do the same thing. God made everything to reproduce itself. So everything has seed in itself, seed of its own kind to produce its own kind. So it wouldn't be too far of a leap at all to say that, yes, they would have had children because they were capable of having children. It would have been a totally different situation. But because they ate from the tree, they still had children, but then their children grew up like, you know, Cain, go crazy. Whole generations of people don't serve God. So, yes, the tree was real. It was literal. And if they had eaten from it, because God clearly said, we got to put a guard on that tree because they'll take and eat from that and be forever tore up with a bad sin nature. Okay? And on the other hand, yes, they would have had children. God would have given them the tree of knowledge of good and evil if the Lord would not withhold Jesus from us. You know, see that, as we can clearly see, that tree needed to come with a whole lot of instruction. And you need to be really close to God before you get the knowledge of good and evil, because now you know that God is good and don't eat from the tree. Evil is bad, eat from the tree. But how, they didn't have any control over themselves after that. And so now all of us have that same struggle. So on the one question, yes, the tree was literal. If they had eaten from it, they would have lived forever in a fallen state. And on the other hand, the question is, would they have had children? Yes, because God always intended to for us to be here, or we would not be here. We are not afterthoughts or, ooh, let me make a Kathy. Ooh, let me make a Terry. Ooh, let me make a Mary. No, it was all intentional. And we learned that from the book we're reading. Before our mothers and fathers formed us in the womb, God knew us. So he knew we would be here. So Adam and Eve would have had kids. God knew. Yeah. People knew that. He foreknew that man would screw it all up, but, you know, he couldn't go down. He literally told man, don't eat from that tree. You're going to be screwed up. You're going to have a bad day. And what did man do? You know, they weren't. What gets me about that tree, though, they never even went. We don't have a report that they even went close to the tree of life. They just hung out by the tree that'll kill you. You know, that's, you know. So yes, the tree was real. Yes, they would have had children, but because God has foreknowledge, he knew we would screw it up.
And that's that tree. My mama got them switches off of.
Right, right. That was the tree of life. Change your life.
That's what I said. That's what I said. They would have children because I said God made the woman for man, so they were gonna learn how to, you know, learn each other and all that, and end up having children. But
They didn't need God to teach them that. When Adam saw Eve, he was like, "Whoa, man!" And when he saw Eve, they knew what to do, because God didn't have to tell them, okay, y'all need to do this and you'll have kids. Before you knew it, they was having kids, and a lot of them. So, he always intended for us to be here, because how could he know Jeremiah before his mother and father formed him in the womb if he did not know that Adam and Eve was going to have kids? Because the only way Jeremiah could get here is if they had kids.
Right.
Okay, good question, Kathy. No more questions for you.
One more.
No.
Oh, it's still early.
No.
I'm going to get you. You better let me ask this question. So listen, it said, why did God say that Eve would have had labor pains?
Well, God said that because that was a part of the punishment. That was a part of the was the ending of the Edenic covenant, and it was a part of the punishment for their sin or discipline for their sin. It wasn't going to be like that in the beginning. Women would have children. You know, I look today. I was, you know, sometimes I just go stand in the backyard, just get out the house. And so I was looking in the sky, and it was cold out there, and the wind was blowing, so I wasn't out there alone. And so I saw this dove, not dove, but seagull up in the sky, and I said, Lord, how is it that that thing is up there where it's even colder than it is down here, and it's not cold? How do you make, and then I saw a squirrel, and I'm like, how are they not cold? How do their feet not freeze? You know, how do they live through the winter without just freezing to death? He made them like that. And so Adam and Eve, a woman would have had a child, but without the pain. God intentionally put the pain in there as a part of the punishment for their sin. And it would forever be a reminder of disobeying God and how that turns out. But, you know, if you look from the garden to chapter 6, man, it's real crazy. Because by the time you get to chapter 6, everybody has flipped out. Except for Noah and his family. But everybody has flipped on the Lord and went crazy. So, yeah. But those are the kinds of questions that come up from deep study. When you read and don't just read past stuff, but read what you're reading and then stop and think about that, you know, and think the thing through. But, yeah, so, yeah, Adam and Eve would have had children, and, yes, they could have ate from that tree. And, yeah, on that other one.
Okay, I'll thank you all. No, be quiet, Kevin.
Thank you.
Don't say this. Don't say nothing else, Kevin. Okay. You push the button. I was staying away from the button, okay? You had to push
all
the button.
All I need is an hour.
That's it.
Inquiring minds wanted to know.
Be quiet, Kevin. Goodbye, Kevin. did we pray already? Because I didn't forgot whether or not we prayed.
Hold on. Let me make these announcements, and then you can pray us out. Okay, coming up Friday at 7 o'clock, bring back the family. 7 o'clock Friday, get involved in the conversation. What is your sacrifice? If we don't help these kids today, guess what? We're going to be victims and not helping them later. So we want to play our part, and everybody has something contribute. So tune in Friday at 7 o'clock, Deaconess Kathy Clyburn is the host along with guest host. Okay, you got to meet Sister Jackie, Sister Pierce, and our own Rebecca Johnson. So tune in, okay, and be a part of it. And then Saturday, Minister Michelle Anderson, y'all know who she is. She'll be preaching this Saturday in our Saturday worship service. Okay, and don't forget that church school starts at 9 a.m. Assistant Pastor Janice Tate is the teacher. So be sure to be in the seat at 9 a.m. Get your children, get your family, your husband, your wife. If your friends have been popped over, make them listen to the class, okay? Get everybody in the class. Of course, on Sunday I'll be preaching, and you want to hear this one. As I said on Monday, I'm going to say it again. This is all about you, okay? This is the sermon where it's all about you. Okay, you get to be a little bit selfish, but for a purpose, okay? So tune in Sunday to hear the second part of Faith, Finances, and You. Of course, it's going to be about the offering, and of course, it's going to be the 10, 10, 30, 50. Who made it? Who made their money work? Okay, so we'll do that. That's pretty much it. And then Monday will be our last class for Christian history. But don't worry, it's all recorded. It's all archived. It's all on our website. Click, click, you got it. Okay? And next Wednesday in this Bible reading class, Deaconess Kathy Clyburn is up, and she'll be carrying us through chapters 31 through 40 of the book of Jeremiah. So we'll see everybody then, okay? And remember, you can always keep up with whatever is happening at Running for Christ just by visiting the website. Everything is on there, okay? Oh, yeah, don't forget the Christmas story on the 22nd at 12 o'clock, Thursday. I think it's the Thursday, 22nd, at 12 o'clock. We're going to be doing the Christmas story, 12 p.m., not 12 at night. If you're up at night and you'd be like, where's the show at? You'll be in the wrong place. You want to be there at 12 p.m., 12 noon, okay? Pastor Wayne up at 12 o'clock at night. Pastor Barlow told me ain't nothing but fools and dogs up out at that late at night. and I said, well, Pastor, I ain't no dog, but I'll be out. He said, well, let's go, son. Anyway, amen. I love that man. Okay, he was so funny. But anyway, we're going to be talking about the history of Christmas. Okay, you don't have to hate Santa Claus. You don't have to be scared of Christmas lights. And you don't have to get on Facebook and say the devil made Christmas, because none of that's true. We're going to look at the history of it, find out where all these traditions and different things that we have to make up what we call Christmas, where it all came from. I'll give you a hint. Joel R. Poinsett is the man who went to Mexico and came back, and guess what he brought back with him? Poinsettias. And that's how they came into the Christian Christmas tradition. So things like that. Germany, the Christmas tree with the decorations that we use today come from Germany, but that's just to tickle you. Come on, be out Thursday on the 22nd for the history of Christmas. All right, Brother Deacon, I appreciate you stepping in. I called him. I said, Brother Deacon, I need you to step in for Sarah. He's like, okay, I'm going to step in for Sarah. But I ain't taking no shorts. You know how I play, you know? So anyway, I appreciate you for stepping up and being the man and taking care and handling these things. That way it wasn't another thing I had to do, and I appreciate that. So, amen. And I thank you. Thank you, Mary, for allowing your husband to step in and give up this time from being with you, okay? And to be with us and to teach us and carry us through this word. So we appreciate you for allowing your crazy husband to come on here and deal with us.
Yeah, that's because I got a crazy best friend. That's hanging out with this crazy best friend for 17 years. Okay. Anyway, let's pray. Lord God, our Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for your word, Father. If we didn't get anything else, Father, let us not forget that no matter what goes on in these lives, you got us. You got us. You see it. That if we look for you, we'll find you. And Lord, it's so wonderful to know that you're with us. Bless each and every one of us right now, Father, as we move to our various places. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
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 Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. Keep Nico Gaston in your prayers. Keep Nicole Seabrooks in your prayers. And keep Keila Freeman in your prayers. Raphael Rogers in your prayers. The Mothers on the Move and everybody you know and I know and we know that's standing in the need of prayer. Talk to the Lord about it. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, y'all have a good night now. Good night, John boy.
Good night.
God's plan. Yeah, yeah. God knows you don't have.
have to be like everybody. It's a broad road, be careful who you're following. I'm so in love with what you've done in my life. There's no way I think I ever could go back again. God knows you don't have to be like everybody. It's a broad road, be careful who you're following. Travel the road with some people, don't make it out, but we emerge. Everyday battle, I'm fighting my demons. Live on the promises found in the word. Get rid of doubt, that can be cancer. If you let it seep into your mind, no matter the problem, I carry the answer. It's a fact, he's always on time. I never had a halo, but I got love for the people. Driving around, looked up, saw steeple. Walked inside, right down to the altar. Raised my hands, oh God, I need this. Handing me the word, young man, you read this. What about send my son, I bleed this. Grab that mic right there, get busy. Give them truth, that's all, they'll see it. Back in the building, we bringing the virus. And everyday walk, we will never retire. Don't have to be Sunday for you to get blessed. Turn on the record, you'll think it's a choir. No Kanye, but I've been through the wire. We've all had a struggle, we gotta get through. You ain't gotta be like everybody, believe it and see. You just gotta be you, true. God knows you don't have to be like everybody. It's a broad road, be careful who you're following. I'm so in love with what you've done in my life. There's no way I think I ever could go back again. God knows you don't have to be like everybody. It's a broad road, be careful who you're following.
Tell the devil be on my block, showing me pains, pulling my strings, keeping me clutching the Glock. The path is wide, the game is whack, evils will never return. If you lose your way, you won't pay, and the cost will always burn. Don't trip up and get flipped up, out here playing the clowns. That ain't your fam to bite your hand, putting the food in the mouth. It's a solo show, you need to know, life is not a race. It's a journey for us to love and trust and chase the wolves away. Come on.
God knows you don't have to be like everybody. It's a broad road, be careful who you're following. I'm so in love with what you've done in my life. There's no way I think I ever could go back again. God knows you don't have to be like everybody. It's a broad road, be careful who you're following. I'm so in love with what you've done in my life. There's no way I think I ever could go back again.